From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. So this week we had a lot of turmoil in the markets, in the Democratic debate, which was... And then, so what I thought I would do is, I think there's a lot of panic mode right now in the markets. So I asked Dean Hedeker. He's the principal at Hedeker Wealth, CPA, attorney, financial wealth planner, and he was just named one of the top wealth advisors from Forbes. So, welcome, Dean. Thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here. I love being here.
Getting a guy your high profile in here. God's blessing me, buddy.
No, I'm here with a high profile guy. No, it's all good. Thanks.
So, a lot of people right now are probably on the brink of the ledge to jump. And in about a month or two ago, I kept, and if anybody watches my YouTube channel, if you don't, please go to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio on YouTube. But I've been saying for a while now, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. You know what I mean by
that. They certainly do, Dad.
And all of a sudden, I knew it was just going to be like a sneeze or, you know, Trump, you know, his shoelaces coming undone or something, and the market was going to crash.
Right.
So now we got the coronavirus.
Yes, we do.
And the world is ending.
Yes, the world is coming to an end as we know it. And so everybody's going to die, and the world's coming to an end.
Yes.
And, you know, it's over. So that's why people, that's their rationale for selling.
Yeah. So what's your take? And we had a bunch of numbers come out this week.
Yep.
The GDP, the fourth quarter, manufacturing numbers, and other things come out. And I never thought the coronavirus was going to be that much of an impact on our stock market, let alone the whole world. And now you're seeing the ripple effect. It's like, you know, throwing a little rock or pebble in the pond, and now it's rippling out all over the world.
Yeah, and we now have the coronavirus in the United States,
right?
You know?
So what's your overall take of, are we in, you know, false panic mode, or is it well substantiated that it is going to cause major havoc all over the world?
Well, I think the first thing is you need to step back a little bit. First of all, these market corrections, these market sell-offs, they occur routinely. You'll have market sell-off of at least 10% or more once a year, 15% or more once every 2 years, and 20% or more once every 3.5 years. So these things happen. Now, with respect to the coronavirus, the thing is that, yes, it's going to affect GDPs, and because of that, it's affecting stock valuations. The other thing we have to bear in mind is the fact that the stock market has been valued fairly rich for the last year or so. I mean, that run-up we had last year where the S&P was up 29%, you know, that's a big run-up.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is that all it would take is just something, some little thing, which is basically what we're seeing here. And so now you've got the sell-off that's occurring, and you're going to have volatility. We also have a year where, you know, we have a presidential election coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to affect things. So I think what we need to bear in mind is there are going to be these sell-offs. These sell-offs are great buying opportunities to go into the market. If you're in the market, I wouldn't get too worried about it. I wouldn't jump out of it, because the problem with that is trying to figure out when to go back in.
Right.
And that's impossible. As a matter of fact, I remember giving a presentation in March of 2019 or 2009 when the market was at its low. And if I would have told people on that day to take all their money and put it in the market, they probably would have run me out of the place.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we just got to take step back a little bit. But I think the other thing you need to do is you need to take advantage. Okay. And one of the things you can take advantage with, and this is your business, mortgage refis.
Yeah.
Right? Interest rates are low, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, I heard that the 10-year treasury now is at its all-time low for 100 years.
Right, yeah.
And your mortgage rates are based on that.
Yeah. I follow every day, I post on YouTube what's going on with the MBS market. And I think at the end of the week, we all we're very, if not there, we're almost at the lowest ever. And that's the bond that trades that actually determines or dictates mortgage rates, which a lot of people don't know. Let's go down this path a little bit. Your take on the housing market, because I'll have guests on here, and I'm a mortgage guy, so I rely on people buying homes or refinancing homes for a living. So yes, I'll say I'm biased on the housing piece of the puzzle. But the opposite side is you'll have people saying, you know, get out of Illinois and you know, don't buy a house and whatever. Well, I can't get out of Illinois. It's my business. Probably like you. You know, right. We got to be here. And so if you don't buy a house, you got to rent. Somebody's going to buy that house that you're going to have to pay their mortgage.
Right.
And then they have you, you know, by the, you know, whatevers. They can raise the rate and do whatever. If everybody's just house, all the houses are rentals.
Right.
I mean, that's not a good market.
Well, I think the thing is to bear in mind here in Illinois. Yeah, in Illinois, we have a very high property tax state.
Right.
We have corporations closing down. Illinois is really not a good state. But having said that, yeah, people need to live somewhere. And if you're going to live anywhere for a long period of time, and I would say, you know, maybe 3 years or more, you know, I think it makes sense to own. And I really, you know, renting, because all you're doing when you're paying rent is you're paying someone else's mortgage.
Exactly.
You're paying their real estate taxes. I mean, you're paying their operating costs.
Right. And they're not taking a loss on their rents. They're cushioning it to at least make, even if worst case scenario, they break even.
They have to make money on their money. I mean, that's a fact.
Right.
You know? So you can't. So, I think that if you're going to be for any period of time, you're probably better off owning. You know, the other thing that comes with ownership is you walk into your house and you say, home sweet home. You know, so there's something to be.
And there's a lot of tax benefits as well. Now, is it worth buying a house because of you can write off 100% of the interest, the taxes, and maybe not in all cases, but you can write off the taxes? Is that one particular reason maybe to rent and possibly get some appreciation?
Well, the thing with the tax law, what's happened now under the new law, which is going to expire in 2020 and the 2025, is that most people are not itemizing their deductions anymore. There's no need for them to itemize. And I think it's about 90-95% of the people are no longer itemizing. And because of that, essentially they're not taking a deduction for their mortgage interest or their real estate taxes. So the tax argument doesn't carry, it's not relevant anymore.
Okay, got it.
Now, in the state of Illinois, you can take a credit for a piece of your real estate taxes, but it's insignificant.
Okay. So, and again, I'm a mortgage guy, but what I want to do with the show is give the facts.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm a strong believer of the First Amendment, but you see so many of these shows that, you know, if you're right-wing radio or TV, it's completely different story if you're left-wing radio. So it's like, guys, can somebody please just tell me the truth?
Yeah, the problem is now with the radio, I agree with you, is that you now have to listen to two or three radio stations and try to figure out what's, you know, in between all of that, because each one is biased and you got to deal with the biases. But here the thing is that, no, we want to be, we want to be upfront. And the reality of it is that the tax deduction argument, I don't think it carries any weight anymore.
However, it being a Forbes, just recently getting the award of being one of the Forbes top wealth managers, your perception behind the whole thing would still be buying a home.
Yeah. No, as a matter of fact, I own a home, you know, and I put my money where my mouth is.
Got it.
And I love owning a home, you know, and it's more than just dollars and cents.
Got it. So tell everybody a little of your bio. And then in the next segment, I really want to dig in to concentrate on some things to give people, you know, very much, you know, I'll say microscope some of the areas of the markets and things that they can look out for. But what's your bio, if you can just give us a brief little snippet of that?
Quick rundown. I'm an attorney as well as a CPA, and I've been practicing in the field of taxation and investments really since the late 80s. I've seen a lot of markets. I've seen a lot of tax law changes. And I think the big thing here is with all of that is that you need to be able to take advantage of the change that occurs. And there's going to be changes in the markets, changes in the tax laws, and changes in the legal laws. And so what we do at our firm is we do the wealth management, we do the estate planning, and the tax returns all in one place. And I think it's very important that everything be bundled together, because this way the left hand knows what the right hand is doing.
Got it. So what I want to do is basically dig down in and ask you, maybe have a little Q&A session to advise people on the markets, maybe some specific investments they should make with tax laws, what you see the markets doing here in the future, because you know that plays a big role in people's retirements as well. So your advice at the beginning of the show was, you know, don't panic, don't get out of the market, because it's very hard to time. Mortgage rates are probably among the lowest they've ever been ever in history. So those are all good things, kind of good things. The bad news is for those senior citizens that are relying on interest from any accounts that they have, because they're probably not heavily weighted in the stock market. Probably not. It's bonds or fixed income assets or something. Those yields have come down probably dramatically, and I'm sure you see this, cutting their monthly, you know, income maybe in half. Go down that road with me. If somebody's out there and they're retired or close to retirement, what do they need to do to prep themselves for these corrections?
Well, I think the thing is this. First of all, what you're seeing is you're seeing interest rates at all-time lows. So the problem there is if you put money in a bank and you put it in a CD, you basically get nothing out of it. You go out and buy bonds, you get nothing out of those. You have no alternatives is the problem. And so people are putting money into the stock market because at least there they have a chance of getting something. The issue with the stock market is that it goes through its volatility, which is what we're seeing, you know, during this week. And so the point is what seniors are seeing is the values of their assets being impacted, and to a significant extent, by this volatility and low interest rates, this combination. Now, people need money to live. And so the point is where do you draw it from? And really up until now, what people have always said, well, you know, I'm going to draw it out of my financial accounts and I'm going to do that. But the worst thing you can do especially in a down market is to fund your retirement out of stock market investments that are down, you know, and right. Because that's going to affect how long your portfolio is going to last. Another technique you can use, and it's been written about in the financial journals and things, is to use a reverse mortgage. Yes, I know. I said reverse mortgage.
That's bad.
The Death Star. I know that. But the products are much different than they used to be. Yeah. And in the old days, reverse mortgages were basically a mortgage of last resort. It was the worst thing to do when you did it, only if you had nothing, no alternative. But nowadays, the products are actually much different. And so the thing you can do is you can use your reverse mortgage basically like a home equity loan and use it in periods when there's downtrends in the market. That way you keep your portfolio intact and just spend the money out of the reverse mortgage. Now, the thing is that if you ask any of the kids, what would they like to inherit? Would they like to inherit a house or would they like to inherit a financial account? I can guarantee you that 99% of the kids are going to say, no, I don't want mom and dad's house.
Right.
I want mom and dad's portfolio. Well, if you do a reverse mortgage, what happens is it has the effect of keeping the portfolio together longer, which the kids can inherit. And with the house, okay, so it's got some, it's collateralized. The kids will get less money out of the house, but they really don't care. It's just a way of maximizing your available assets, and one of your assets is your house.
Got it. You're When you just said that, I kind of, the hair on the back of my neck just stood up, because I don't usually, I'll have people, even attorneys will call me, and they, I have one attorney that calls me every time he has somebody in that, that they're kind of devastated. And I, this was a couple years ago. I said to the gentleman, I said, why don't we look at a reverse mortgage? And he's like, why would they do that? They're going to, they probably, they're going to be, you know, maybe they're going to live another 5, 6, 7 years. So they're going to give the house to the bank just so they can live there for 5 years.
Yeah. The common thought is that if you do a reverse mortgage, that the house goes to the bank and that's it. But that's not how it works. So people need to be educated really about how these reverse mortgages work. And yeah, I know I'm saying the Death Star of mortgages, but yeah, I can tell you that I've seen it in situations, again, where you have people with, you know, stock market investments or investments that are down. The best place to draw it from is from another asset, and the other asset is your house.
You know, right. So. And it's a constant value, or in most cases, maybe not in Illinois, in most cases, it's an appreciating asset. So let's say you take out the monies and then, you know, that it's still going to appreciate, but especially in today's market.
But my point is this. My point is if you pull the money out of the IRA when it's down, there's even going to be a lot less over your lifetime.
Right.
I mean, if you pull it out of a house, you're still able to live in the house.
Right.
It's not impacting that at all. And the fact of the matter is that, and I know the kids are going to say, don't do a reverse mortgage and all that. I get all that. But the reality of it is the kids would come out ahead.
Right.
You know, it's so, and it's, there was a journal written by Wade Fowle, who's the scholar in the financial planner circles. And Wade he ran all the numbers, he wrote a book on it. And it's very convincing and actually basically makes the case for the new style reverse mortgage, not the old style.
Yeah. So I you know, most people don't even know you can make payments to the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just treat it as a mortgage.
You could
use it as that supplemental income when you need it. And then as your assets go back up, then maybe take some money out, pay it off, do whatever. Or don't invest any more money into your 401k. Now use those payments and start paying down that mortgage piece on the house. There's multiple ways to do it.
You have a lot of flexibility.
And okay. Got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How'd you become one of the top wealth advisors in Forbes magazine? That's a huge accomplishment.
Well,
God bless you, man.
Well, thank you. It just took a lot of years of hard work and meeting with a lot of clients and helping them. And, they go through a pretty rigorous process.
So how does Forbes find you?
Well, they apparently what they do is they identify all the financial advisors in the United States. And then the top ones, they send out an application form for, and you have to go through the application. Then what they do is they interview you. They'll look at all the metrics of your practice. And I don't, you know, frankly, I don't know all of it. And the reason is they don't want you to know the secret sauce.
Right. Then you can manipulate it.
Because you're going to game the system.
Yeah.
You know, so all I know is that, yeah, I've been on the list. Now this is the third year. And we keep moving up. Now we're number 18 on the list. I think we started out in 66 in the first year. So it's a good, it's a great honor.
That's amazing. Yeah. So some of the other accomplishments you have, I know that you're a lot of times you're on TV. You're a special guest there. So what I'm getting at is you're not just the average, you know, investment guy that's out there. Call us and stop by or, you know, do this, whatever. I mean, you are kind of the top of the tier in a lot. I'm not trying to, you know, blow smoke up your, you know what. But I mean, it's not like you're just, and you're, another thing is you came in and said a reverse mortgage, which is uncommon coming from a position that you're in.
Right.
So what are all the things that your firm does for people?
Well, our firm, again, I've always believed that clients want to have one place where they can turn to, where they can get everything handled and basically meet with essentially a quarterback of a team. And what they do when they come into our office, they meet with me and I am the quarterback of the team. And I will make sure that your tax returns are properly handled. that no mistakes are made on the returns. We'll make sure that the investments are invested properly with proper diversification and also with a view towards tax efficiency, because you can make a ton of money, but you can lose a lot of money too if you're not tax sensitive. And I think the third thing is we want to make sure that we have the estate plans in place so that when the eventual disability happens, and I'm not talking about physical disability, I'm talking about mental disability, when disability happens, your family members or trusted people can step in and handle things without you having to resort to the court system. Same thing is true in the event of death, and also same thing is true in the form of taxation. And again, you know, we work our butts off to earn money. The last thing we want to do is give it to the government.
Gotcha. And then I know that most of the wealth in the country has been given down or shared from future or past generations. So your dad was probably CEO of some big corporation, or maybe, you know, CEO of a big bank or investment firm. I'm probably right?
Dan, my dad is a lot like your dad, okay? My dad was a baker, and he would come into work at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, actually, and he'd work all day, and that's what we did. And as a matter of fact, when I was going to school, the way I paid for my education is I worked in the bakery, and I worked night shift and all that stuff.
So just meeting you, I could tell that you weren't from old money.
No.
You have a great personality. Nope. You're easy to talk to. One of the biggest things you said too is you're the quarterback. You meet the people. They don't walk into this office and then they're seeing your assistant because you're out on the golf course or you're whatever. That's awesome, because it's like I always tell people, when you call us, you'll talk to me. You know, you're not going to talk to a team member in 99% of the cases, because I want you to feel like you're somebody.
Well, that's important. Obviously, we get our work done through our assistants, who are great assistants, the people we have working at your office as well as my office. These are great people. But the thing is that you and I both need to tie it all together. And the way we tie it all together is sitting down and spending some quality time with our clients.
And worked our butts off to get where we are. And then you appreciate it a lot more. When you finally get there.
It's wonderful.
So
it's a great
awesome.
Life.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in. Dean Hedeker, principal at Hedeker Wealth, just was named one of Forbes' top wealth advisors in the country. So God bless you. Thanks for coming in. Hope to have you back again sometime.
Thank you, Dan. It was great talking to you.
All right, thank you. Take care.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626. Or online at thefrioteam.com.